Let's go to the book of Acts, the New Testament, the book of Acts tonight. And first of all, we want to welcome our visitors in the house tonight, and we want to welcome those that are watching us by live stream tonight. And again, it's our prayer that you receive your portion in the Lord and that you receive the word of God as we will hear tonight too. Amen. Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. Read a few verses here today, but we're going to set the tone where we're going here. Acts chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 10. Praise the Lord. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand upon him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands upon him, he said, Brother Saul, amen. Isn't that beautiful? You know, in the kingdom of God, a true Christian, we call each other brother and sister in the Lord because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. If Jesus is our Savior, we're acquainted by the Son of God and our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he calls him now, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that hath appeared to thee in the way as you came, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he had received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a miraculous conversion, that of Saul of Tarsus. Amen. One of the greatest conversions we read about in Scripture, but it shows us the true power of God. It shows us that Jesus Christ can change any heart. Amen. And that's what true Christianity is about, a changed heart, a changed life. Amen. A new heart, a new spirit will I put into you. God don't rehabilitate the old you, the old me. He annihilates us in the cross, in the finished work of Christ. We're dead with Christ, buried with Christ, but raised into a brand new life in the Son of God when we have come to that point where we have put our faith in Jesus Christ for our personal condition of personal sin. Amen. And he forgives us, loves us, comes and lives within us, and we're born again. We have a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. And oh, what a great change has taken place in our life. Amen. Tonight's message, if we can call it this, I'm going to call it the attributes of a victorious life. The attributes of a victorious life. Amen. Let's go to prayer. Father, again, we want to thank you for those that have gathered in your name in this house. Father, we implore the anointing of the Holy Spirit from heaven. Lord, give us tonight our portion in Christ. Let your word come to life, enable the preacher to teach with an anointing of the Spirit. And God, let us receive the word of God tonight in the presence of the Lord. And Lord, touch us, stir us, and challenge our heart, O God, and challenge our faith, Lord. We ask you to bless the live stream audience, wherever this DVD or CD message would go, that you anoint it, Lord, and that you touch every heart and give them understanding as they listen to what's being ministered tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for all good things, O God. Move by miraculous power, Father, in Jesus' name. And tonight everybody said amen and amen. This last Sunday morning, I know we had a smaller group because of the weather, but the Lord had given me a message to preach, and we had talked about really the sons of Sceva, who evidently had seen the ministry of this one we're reading about, Saul of Tarsus, who would later become the Apostle Paul. Amen. And the events of Acts 19, between Acts 9 and Acts 19, probably 20-some years have gone by. But the sons of Sceva evidently had seen Paul at work in his ministry and where he was preaching the gospel. And he would see Paul lay hands on people or cast devils out of people. And he would cast them out by the name of Jesus. Amen. And so the sons of Sceva, seeing this, you know, they saw a man who was possessed with a demon spirit, and they thought, hey, we can do this too. And so we taught about this and preached about this Sunday morning a little bit, and we had read that portion of Scripture. But as the sons of Sceva would lay hands on this demon-possessed madman, amen, the demon cried out of the man and said, Jesus, we know, Paul, we know, but who are you? Amen. And the Bible says that the spirit within that man just gave that man a supernatural power and strength. And I'm just going to use a little street language. He beat the tar out of those seven sons of Sceva and sent them running out of the house, amen, fearing, you know, within an inch of their life, amen. But it shows you that many in the church today, many in the body of Christ, walk in what's called, I call it, a borrowed faith. It's a faith that did not originate by the birthing of God within their heart. They just kind of added it to what they were, and they just kind of went along in the philosophy thereof. And we have to understand, you know, God has given every true believer in Jesus Christ an authority and a power to use the name of Jesus. Amen? There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Are you having trouble? Bind that thing up in the name of Jesus Christ. You have that right, that authority. You have that power in Christ. The power is not of you. The power is originating in the Godhead in that name. Amen. And as a blood-bought child of God, you and I as ambassadors of Christ, because we're hid with Christ in God, amen, not by our performance, but by our faith in the finished work of Jesus, you and I have every right to use that same name, amen. And we don't have to worry about a demon spirit coming out of somebody and sending us running to the hills, amen. My Bible says that when we go in, the enemy should flee seven ways, amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible teaches for the true child of God who is walking in the authority of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're not an entity unto ourselves. We are subjected to the one who has the power. That power is never originating in you or me. It is in the Holy Spirit that abides in us by our faith in Jesus and Him crucified for us. Amen. So as we abide properly in faith, we have power. Amen. To see great things done in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes there are just situations. I know we can pray in the Holy Spirit, and we're to pray in the knowledge and the understanding. We're to sing in the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. You know, but there's a time where sometimes the situation might be so bad, all you can do is use the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you use the name of Jesus, I'm here to say, that'll bind up the influence of the powers of darkness that might be setting in motion that difficult circumstance that you're in. Amen. Now, I'm not saying there's a devil under every rock, because a lot of things, you know, sometimes a lot of things are self-inflicted. Amen. But if there's truly a dark spirit, a heaviness, an oppression, we don't have authority over people, over loved ones, amen, but we do have authority over the powers of darkness in Jesus' name, amen. And we have to understand that. The weakest child of God can use the name of Jesus. The youngest member in the body of Christ can still use the name of Jesus and see the powers of darkness bound up, amen, and the liberty come forth in Jesus' name, amen. But, you know, we look at Paul now, you know, this one who the seven sons of Sceva evidently saw Paul's ministry, and they must have admired something about the way Paul ministered the word and the power and the authority in which he taught and preached. Amen. You know, true preaching, true teaching is to be done in authority. It is to be done in power. Paul said that your faith is not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. And the power of God is that power of truth anointed by His Spirit. Amen. And so many in the body of Christ have never seen the true power of God manifested. Amen. In the church, because so many churches have gotten soft in the way they deliver the Word of God. It's become a philosophy. We give out a philosophy now instead of teaching people the Word of God and how they can believe on Christ and how they can have victory and power in their life. Amen. We get too soft-spoken. We got to preach. We got to teach with authority, because the powers of hell are so real and so prominent in the world today that you and I must walk in our integrity and in the power that God gives us in His name. Amen. Praise the Lord. But tonight I want us to look at a little bit deeper. We're going to look at Paul here just a little bit deeper. And I want to look at some of Paul's attributes. You know, Paul could use that name of Jesus, but that just didn't happen in a vacuum. Paul had to grow in this thing like you and I had to grow in this thing. Last Sunday when we preached those scriptures, we even talked about Jesus Christ as he was born into this world. Jesus was God. He was God in the flesh. Amen? That was the great incarnation. He was God in the flesh. But God, how can I say, God had designed that when Christ came into this world, that the power of God upon Jesus Christ, that every miracle he did, every devil he cast out, that he didn't cast that devil out or what, by him being God, but he did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to become a man. He had to lower himself to become mankind. And so as he was growing in this thing to become the proper Savior, to be a legal Savior that could legally redeem man from the curse of his sin, the curse of the law, Jesus Christ had to come into this world as God, but as man. Amen? He was God, but he was man. And he willingly laid aside the attributes of divine power and authority as God, and picked it up as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's why you see when Jesus came to age and he was going to go into the ministry, the Spirit came upon him and drove him into the wilderness, and he was fasting for 40 days and nights. It said he went in, by the unction of the Spirit, but he came out of there in the power of the Spirit. Amen? And so Jesus, wherever he went now, he began to preach the gospel, the good news, and we begin to see what? He went to his home church, and some of those old elders that were in that church, the devils in them started crying out. You know, I'm here to say there are people in churches that have demon spirits in them, amen? Because not everybody in that church is saved and born again, amen? There's a lot of religious folk that are being moved on by a power of darkness, but soon as Jesus started preaching, what happened? Those devils started crying out. And he started binding him up, casting him out, and he started taking authority. But he did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we kind of see the pattern there. And so as Paul now would be called of the Lord later to preach his gospel, we begin to see now Paul begin to grow in this thing called the faith and begin to grow in the grace of God. But Paul got to the point where God could put him in the work of God, and that wherever Paul had the need, and if he felt quickened by the Holy Spirit, he could take authority over the powers of darkness and see devils cast out of people. Amen? As he was on the front lines of ministry in that wicked world, bringing the gospel to regions and people that have never heard of the good news of Jesus Christ. Heathen people. Amen? That were stooped in, religious traditions and superstition, where witchcraft was prominent and such. Amen? You got to understand, this whole thing, there is a spiritual world out there. There is a world of darkness, amen? There are things called fallen angels and demon spirits. But the child of God has authority over all of it in the person of Jesus Christ, amen? And so we don't have to fear the powers of darkness. We just deal with them from time to time. If you live long enough as a spirit-filled Christian, you'll realize there are days where the enemy of your soul is pressing in on you, amen? Where people you're dealing with from time to time, you can tell there's a power working in that life greater than just a normal sinner. You know what I'm saying? There's obviously something empowering that wicked person to do what they're doing, amen? And so, but we have authority, amen? But now listen, we're going to look at Paul. Paul was known in hell, his name. Jesus, we know, now the demon spirits are telling this to those sons of Sceva. Jesus, we know, Paul, we know, but who are you, right? Acts 19, you'll read it yourself. You know, and again, we ministered that message Sunday. Now, tonight, I want to talk about the attributes. Where did Paul just get this victory? What was in Paul that God could use him that way? And I believe this is something that we're not to overlook. But there are certain characteristics in us, if we want to grow in this thing called the grace of God, if we want to mature as a child of God, is if we want to grow in the faith that God can use us in a greater power and a greater authority, there are some attributes that Paul had that I think are worth us looking at tonight a little bit. First of all, one of the reasons God could use Paul, and this is why he chose Paul, but Paul was a faithful man. Paul was faithful to him that called him. The scripture says it this way, and I thank Christ, Paul speaking, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That's out of 1 Timothy 1. Now, Paul made it clear to Timothy, one of the reasons that God had called me is that that God put this attribute in me called faithfulness. God knew the character and the disposition of Paul, that if Paul would have a new heart and come to surrender his life to Jesus Christ, that there was a faithfulness in Paul. Paul wasn't going to just take this experience in Christ and squander it away and go off and just do his own thing. Amen? But Paul would be determined to be faithful to the one that saved him, to the one who called him, to the one who enabled him to be put into the work of God. Amen? You know, that was an attribute that God saw in Paul, and God could use that. Amen? The importance of faithfulness in the believer's life is an incredible need. Amen? We see such apathy in the body of Christ today. We get people that have had an experience with Christ, that have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they've walked with the Lord for a while, and we see that in the Gospels. They'll walk with the Lord for a season, but in time of temptation or when the going gets tough, we drop off. Amen. They go AWOL. Amen. They'll forsake Jesus Christ. They'll lay aside their faith. Amen. You know, but that attribute was not in Paul. See, we need faithfulness. We need commitment to the one who bought us. Amen. Unfortunately, preachers in legalistic churches demand that allegiance to them and to their church and to their ministries. Okay? But what we're trying to preach is I need that kind of allegiance to the one who died for us. We need that allegiance and faithfulness to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if I got that commitment and faithfulness to Jesus Christ, when the going gets rough, when it gets tough, guess what? I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stand with my Savior. I'm not going to wickedly depart from my God. Amen? And I'm not going to shake my fist at God and accuse him of not treating me right. God cannot do any man evil. He will never tempt man beyond what he is able to bear. Amen? And Paul, we see the life of Paul, what that man went through. And in fact, at his salvation, he even told Ananias, God did, that I'm going to show him the great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He needed a faithful man, one who could bear up under the pressure. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul bore up under that pressure with the help and the grace of God. Amen? But he had that base attribute that in his heart, he was a faithful man. He was faithful to the one who saved him, loved him, died for him, and gave himself for him. His faithfulness was to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm here to say tonight, for you and I to have a greater power, a greater strength, to be used of God in a greater way, we got to have that attribute of faithfulness. Amen? It even says, I believe in the Psalms, or is it in the Proverbs, you know, a faithful man, who can find one? Who can find a faithful man? You know, faithfulness is very important. It is a good attribute. Faithfulness is a good thing. Faithfulness is not an evil attribute. Amen? Faithfulness. I think we sing the song, you know, is that part of it? Faithfulness is what I need. It's what I long for. You know, faithfulness, faithful. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. And if Christ has your heart, and if you're faithful to him, he'll have all of you. He'll have everything of yours. Amen? Paul sold out to the one who died for him. Paul sold out to Jesus who loved him. Amen? Paul sold out, and he was faithful. And that word faithful, it's the same faithfulness a spouse should have to their spouse. Amen? Sink or swim, till death do us part. You know what I'm saying? You know, and we're not going to get into that side of it tonight. But I'm here to say that attribute of faithfulness is very important. God wants our heart. He wants us to be faithful to him no matter what. Because he's trying, listen, without faithfulness, we'll never stay on the main course, the main path that God hath ordained for us, that we can receive the full reward and the very thing for which we were born into this world to be blessed with and to have in the things of God. Amen. Why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't God bless me? Well, you got to stay put. You got to stay in His will. You got to stay in His path. Amen. You got to stay in the faith. You got to walk heart to heart, hand in hand with Jesus Christ. You must seek Him every day, the one you're faithful to. Amen. The one that's faithful to you. In fact, Jesus even said, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us until the very end, right? Amen. That's His faithfulness to us. He wants that same kind of commitment back to Him. Amen. So Paul had that attribute of faithfulness. We need faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we're faithful to Him, we'll have a church life. We'll have a prayer life. We'll have a word life. We'll have a walk with Him. Right? That's how this works. You can't be faithful to Jesus Christ and not have the other things working. Faithfulness to Him, I'm not saying we don't struggle in some of these areas at times, but the base desire is there. The desire for fellowship with God, to walk with Him, to be in His will, to be concerned about what God wants in my life. Amen? Amen. That's how this works. That's how this works. So Paul was a faithful man, and that was one of his attributes of victory. That God could give him victory. He was faithful. He wasn't going to run out. He wasn't going to flee and go AWOL when the battle got hot. Amen. In fact, one time he was stoned, and they thought he was dead, and they picked him up, and we don't know. Some say that might have been when Paul was taken to the third heaven. He might have been out. He might have been dead, but Jesus resurrected him by the time the men went and picked him up and tried to bring him back into the city. And so when Paul got back on his feet, first thing he wanted to do, he didn't say, let's get out of here. Man, I was killed. Man, thank God that you guys got me. No, he said, let's go back into the city. His work wasn't done, you know. You know, wow, that's faithfulness. Yeah, that's faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The next attribute Paul had, Paul was a persuaded man. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded that God is good? Are you persuaded that Jesus Christ loves you? Are you persuaded that He did die for your sin and He gave you His victory and He imputes to you His perfect righteousness? Are you persuaded, as Paul said of old, he said, for I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul was persuaded because he was faithful to Jesus Christ that if I've abandoned my life to Him, then I am persuaded that He is faithful, that He will do me right, that He will do me good, that He will keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, that He's the keeper of my soul, that He's the keeper of my possessions, that He's the keeper of my heart and of my life. Amen? Paul was persuaded. Not only was he faithful, but he was persuaded. What does it mean to be persuaded? The argument's over. It's a settled issue. It's a settled fact. There's no room for discussion. It's a done deal. It's finito. This is it. I'm persuaded. Totally convinced. Amen? No gray areas. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which is committed unto Him against that day. Amen? He is the keeper of my heart, my life. He will do me right. God can't fail me. He can never do me wrong. Amen. Paul said, I'm persuaded. When you have that faithfulness to Christ, I'm persuaded the search is over. He's got everything that belongs to me. He has my heart. He has my family. He has my future. He has my past. He has my sin under His blood. He has my righteousness. I am persuaded that He is it all taken care of on my behalf. Amen? Glory to God. That's good news tonight. Amen? He's got my back. The Bible says when you read the Psalms, He's my rear reward. Re-reward. It's kind of a strange word. I used to think that was a misprint. What do you mean He's my rear reward? I looked that up. It means your rear guard. It's a nice way. We say it today in today's language, hey, I got your back. I got your back. In other words, it's your buddy saying, I'll watch your blind side. Don't worry. Amen. God is saying, I got your back. I got your blind side. I got you covered. Amen. Don't worry about it. I got you. Everything's going to be all right. So Paul was faithful, but Paul was persuaded. Persuaded. We're still trying to be, too many in the church aren't persuaded that God is good, that God is faithful, that God loves them, that God cares about them. See, do you realize if you went into a marriage like that and you don't fully trust that spouse? Now, I'm not saying that it takes a while for us to grow together. Don't get me wrong. Because neither spouse is perfect. Each will have their flaws and faults, right? Right? But if you have, for the rest of your life, and you're in a relationship where you don't really trust that spouse, you're not going to have intimacy in that relationship because you don't trust that person. When you don't trust, it's a lack of love. Now, understand, that person is untrustworthy. We understand that's a whole different thing, right? You know, that's a strong statement. But think about it. You got to be persuaded. You got to be persuaded with Jesus Christ. It takes us a little longer to be persuaded with people. But if you don't trust the Lord, then God doesn't have your heart. And if he doesn't have your heart, you're always going to be, when things get a little rough, a little tough, you're always going to question him with a contempt and be angry when things don't go the way you think they should. You'll be angry with God. See that all the time. Why did God allow this? Well, why isn't he doing well? You know, come on, we've all been there. I've been there. I'm not coming at you here. I'm learning this too. Especially when there's been a few setbacks and you've wondered, why did the Lord let that happen? Okay? So we walk through this. But Paul came through it all. He was faithful. He was persuaded. Persuaded. He's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Amen? Because Paul was a faithful man and he was persuaded, he was also a good soldier in the army of God. Paul would tell the younger preacher Timothy, who Paul would mentor, he would say that no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What Paul was telling Timothy, when you're connected in with Jesus Christ, when you're faithful, when you're persuaded, then you'll be equipped to stand on the front lines of life, the front lines of ministry. And you'll be faithful to one who called you and put you into that position. Amen? And as a good soldier, you'll endure some hardness. As a good soldier, you'll take the heat. As a good soldier, when the going gets rough, you won't run AWOL. You won't abandon the will of God, the place that God has put you. Too many Christians today aren't a good soldier in the kingdom of God. When God puts them into something and the water gets a little hot, they're looking for a bailout. They're looking to run away. They're looking to escape. Amen. And we talked about that, I think, Sunday morning a little bit. That you ever watch these programs where there's a prison break? They always catch the guy, put him back in prison, and now it's longer and worse than it was before they try to escape. You know? Why does God put us in those things? And that would be the question. Because God needs people like you and me that have been washed in the blood to be that light in that dark place. And there are times, as Joseph of old, God puts us right where we don't really want to be, but we need to be, because he needs us there. People say, why am I in this family? Why am I in this relationship? Why am I in this marriage? Why am I in this predicament? Why am I in this occupation? Because if you're a blood-bought child of God, God needs you there. That's your mission field. Stay faithful. Stay true until he moves and he leads and he says it's time to come out or to move on in his will, right? That's how that works. Amen. Are we a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are we faithful to the one who called us? Do we stay in our position? I mean, isn't that what it said in the Kings? David's men said that they would hold rank. They were expert in war. Amen. They, you know, they kept rank. They wouldn't get out of place. That's what attribute Paul had for his victorious life. Amen. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. But Paul was also a fighter. He was a fighter. He had that attribute that he took on life and he took on ministry with a good heart and a good spirit. He said it this way, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. You know, when you read the life of Paul and the work of Paul, no man has probably gone through in ministry what that man has gone through. The beatings, the stonings, the imprisonments, the difficulties, perils of robbers, perils of hunger, perils of nakedness, perils of cold. He said, fightings, fears within, fightings without. I mean, it was difficult. It was hard. It was not easy. But you know, Paul realized there was something driving him. No matter what, something drove him on. It was that fighter spirit. It was that attribute in his life that I'm not going down. That I'm not going to be a cur dog and run off with my tail between my legs when the going gets tough. But I'm going to stay where he wants me to stay. And I'm going to fight this good fight. I'm going to stay in the faith. I'm going to stay in the faith. I'm not going to backslide for you. I'm not going to backslide because it's hard. I'm not going to fall away from God because it's difficult right now. Amen. I told you this, many of you heard me preach this few times, but it's hard when you see a young teenage gal of about 17 years old when the mother died unexpectedly, and I get the call at 2 in the morning and I go to that hospital. And there's the father out in the hospital parking lot trying to calm the daughter down, who's screaming at the top of her lungs, jumping up in the air, shaking her fists at God, telling God how much she hated him. Because life flipped upside down for her. That'll curdle your blood. Amen. See, Paul, he would fight those notions. No, God is faithful. When they're in prison, Paul and Silas, they're hanging there. It's the midnight hour. Man, we're preaching. We're just trying to start a church over here. And we get arrested and they beat us and they hang us in chains. And they hang us off so our toes are barely touching the ground. And it's 50 degrees in this prison. And we're basically in our swimsuit and beaten. Our back is bloody. Paul was a fighter. And he said, Silas, let's sing a hymn. Let's sing a song. You know, if that was us today, maybe would we be cursing God? Would we be cursing the day we were born? Would we be wondering why God allowed this? Well, isn't my faith working? Where's the message of the cross now? You know what I'm saying? You know, we've had lesser problems that we've not come through too well. But God loves us, and he will stay committed to us, because maybe I struggle fighting the good fight right now, but God isn't done with me. I will get stronger in this thing called the grace of God. Paul told Timothy, be thou strong, my son, in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will build us up and strengthen us. And maybe next year, a year, two, three down the road, when that battle comes again, I find myself with a little more fortitude, a little more strength. I find that God has done something a little more stronger in my life. And I'm not running off. I'm not so angry with God so quick. I'm coming through my circumstance and I'm realizing that I'm being held up by the grace of God. And I'm refusing to go down. I'm refusing to give in to my emotions. I'm refusing to give in to unbelief. Amen. See, this is what Paul had. We're all going to need that, my friend. Life is not fair. Things will not go our way all the time, every time, even in the perfect will of God. I mean, Elizabeth sits here tonight. Her late husband, I mean, she's getting ready to go to work and gets a knock at the door. It's the coroner. Her husband was just killed in an accident. I mean, a tragic work accident. They're Christians, children of God. Why did God allow that? Oh, it shook her up. But you know what? That girl has a fight, man. And I'll tell you what, she came through hell itself. And God counted her faithful and put her into the work of God after all of that. Amen. Oh, she had bumps and bruises. She had ups and downs. But like Paul, there was some attributes there that God brought that life through to victory. Amen. Hallelujah. And when her and I married after that tragic event, then God put us into the work we're here tonight. Amen. Rest is history. God has a great work he's going to do in this region yet. We've not yet seen it, but it'll come. God don't give you a church that can seat 350 people for 20 people. Now, it's a long time. We're kind of like that bamboo tree. You know what they say about a bamboo tree? They say that little twig at times in certain strains of bamboo, that little thing, that little root, will be buried in the ground for 15 years. And all you see is that little shoot out of the ground. And it's like every year that thing hardly grows and hardly grows and hardly grows. But you know what's happening? It's developing a root system. Once the root system is intact, that takes year upon year upon year upon year, then all of a sudden, one year, that thing just shoots up 30, 40, 50, 60 feet. Amen? Amen. All the while, if you're watching that little bamboo tree, you'd think, what's wrong with that little bamboo tree thing? You know? Amen. And you got to be careful when we talk about churches and work and ministry and what God's in and what, you know what I'm saying? So I'm believing that God knows what he's doing here. So Paul was a fighter. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. I really want that to be a story of my life. That through it all, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. I don't want my epitaph to say he ran good for 35 years but ended back up in the bar stool. Ended up out of God, out of church. You see, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to receive a full reward. Amen. I want him to look at me one day and say, come thou into the joy of the Lord, thou faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's wind this up. So Paul was faithful. He was persuaded. He was a good soldier. He was a fighter. But Paul was dead. Paul was a dead man. Now you say, what are you talking about, dead? Well, Paul said it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do live, but yet it's not me, but it's Christ who's living in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The concept of being dead is simply this. It is that when I have come to Jesus Christ, Jesus in the mind of God, or God the Father in his heart and in his mind, I was crucified with Christ because my sin needed to be judged. And I was rendered dead to my old identity. Amen? If you're born again, you're dead in Christ but alive in God. The old you has been buried in the mind of God because your sin has been judged, and God raised you up with a brand new life, but it's empowered not by you, but by Christ in you now. It's the resurrected Christ by his Spirit that lives in the true child of God. Paul had this concept. He said, I'm dead in him. I'm dead to what I used to be. He was alive. He was not saying, no, I'm not dead where you put me in a casket and there's no more Paul. He said, the old me, the old Paul, Saul of Tarsus, has been judged on the cross, buried in Christ. Amen. I'm dead to what I used to be, but you see me now as Paul? This is the new me. I am dead with him, but he's alive in me. And this life that you're seeing in me, it is Christ in me. Hallelujah. See, Paul recognized that. This is the heart of the message of the cross. When we preach Christ and him crucified, this is where the true power of God is. I am dead to what I used to be, but I have a new life, and I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in God. He is the life of my spirit. He is the life of my heart. He is the life of my mortal body. He will quicken your mortal body even. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is not taught well in Christian circles today. But Paul said, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God. Amen. That's why I can walk in victory. That's why I walk in power. I'm dead to that old passions I used to have. I have a new me. I'm resurrected in Christ. And the new life I have now, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank God he loved me. He died for me. He gave himself for me. I'm dead in him. But what you see, the life you see, is the Son of God. It's Christ in me. Amen. That's what Paul was teaching. Amen. And so, because as a dead man, Paul could now seek for and sought out that which belongs to Jesus. Paul would tell the Philippian church, he said, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. You see, Paul, because he was dead to his old passions and alive in him, he was saying, in essence, man, he says, you know, everybody out there, everywhere I go, everybody, it's me, myself, and I. It's all about me, myself, and I. He said, very few in the church really care about the things that belong to Jesus Christ. You know, it's what can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? You know, there's people that'll come to church. What can I get? What can you do for me? Instead of coming with the heart and the mind saying, I'm faithful in Jesus Christ, I want to seek what's His. Amen. Amen. Listen, a church, we're human beings, but we all needed one to die for us. Amen. The heart should be, we're here to serve one another, to be a blessing to one another within the house of God. That's still a right thing. But our heart, our passion should be what pleases Him. What can I do for Him? Where are His interests? And am I lined up with His interests for my life and for His work? See, that's what Paul was referring to. All seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ's. See, Paul had that one. He was single-minded. My heart, my passion is for Him and what belongs to Him. My heart, my passion is to take His name and to do His will and to preach His gospel wherever I go. That His, it's like the old preacher from several hundred years or 100 years ago. How did he say that? He says, should not the Lamb who was slain receive the rewards of His sufferings? What he was really saying, the one who gave so much to redeem me from the curse of sin, who saved my life from a devil's hell, shouldn't I be persuaded and faithful and committed and so in love with Him that my life, that He can use my life to bring to Himself some of the rewards for which He had suffered and died on my behalf? Amen. Should not the Lamb who was slain receive the rewards of His sufferings? Amen. See, that's really the heart. So, Paul was faithful. He was persuaded. He was a good soldier. He was a fighter. He was dead to himself. And he sought for what was only Christ's. But one of the last attributes, and I close with this, Paul was gentle. Paul didn't go around with a chip on his shoulder through all that he suffered, all he had been through, when he walked into town. He didn't come in as the chief apostle, demanding somebody carry his Bible, and demand almost worship. And he didn't go around trying to berate other people that they're not as righteous as him, and they've not arrived. Paul said, like a nurse that comes in to gently nourish the children, So was I among you. Paul came in weakness, even though he was the greatest of the apostles. Paul came in humility to love the body of Christ and to be their servant as regards the work and the word of God. Amen. Paul didn't come to cut somebody's lawn, to wash their car for them. He came to break the bread of life, to portray Jesus Christ, to teach them God's way, God's work, the cross, the blood, and the truth of the new covenant. That's what Paul came to do, and he did it with a kind sweet, gentle Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why God could use him. That's why God called him. Paul had some attributes tonight. I want to grow in these attributes. Amen. I see my need. But God is faithful. And he'll work in us that which we need if we'll surrender every moment of our day into his hands. Hallelujah.